What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, and we have great rates for smokers too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
GoinSafaris.com.
You're locked into Money Matters Radio, 1120 AM WBNW.
The following program is wholly sponsored and produced by Stu Taylor on Business, which is responsible for its content. The opinions and information provided on today's show are those of the guests and or their respective companies and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of this station. It is strongly recommended that all listeners conduct their own due diligence on all companies mentioned and or seek out the advice and counsel of a financial professional. The guests on this show may pay a fee to appear on the show and are not affiliated with the show in any manner. This is Stu Taylor on Business. Now, Stu Taylor.
All right, good morning. And it's always nice to bring back an old friend and one of whom I have vivid memories of in our past radio broadcasting experience. Had the pleasure to meet him personally. Hey, thanks for that great invite to the party. Lawrence Lehmer. He's the New York Times best-selling author of more than a dozen books, including The Kennedy Women and The Price of Justice. His experience is rather diverse. Worked in a French factory in a West Virginia coal mine and was a Peace Corps volunteer. His play Rose, I just got the dates, it'll be appearing in Chicago. I hope to be there. It was produced off Broadway last year. The name of the current book, The Lynching, the epic courtroom battle that brought down the Klan, and it is published by William Morrow in hardcover. And, Larry, great to have you back.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, and I mean another terrific book. I was about to use the word epic in the subtitle, but another really a book for the times, The Lynching. What was the genesis of you writing this book? We've heard so much about violence and segregation and Jim Crow and all the things that went on in the South and the racial conflict today. Is it a reflection of what's going on today that brought you back to this?
Well, you think about it. Lynching, from about 1870 until 1955, there was an average of about a little over one lynching a week of black people through the South. Okay, so this was the way African Americans were controlled, because psychologically there was always that fear. This could happen to me. Imagine if you were a black mother. How do you raise your son? Do you raise him to stand tall and walk bold, or do you teach him to get off the sidewalk when a white person comes by and takes off his cap? If you want him to live, you probably did the latter. But 1955 was the last lynching, and then 25 years later, in March 1981, a 19-year-old black teenager, Michael Donald, was lynched in Mobile, Alabama, and that's what my book is about.
Yeah, the book is intriguing. It's really a character study as well, featuring three characters, Morris Deeds, Governor George Wallace, and the head of the Klan, one evil guy, Robert Shelton, a little bit of a portrayal and how those three had some confluence and entered the mix together.
Yeah, well, what's interesting is they're all Morris Deeds, who's the founder of the Southern Poverty Law Center, and George Wallace, both have law degrees from the University of Alabama. And Robert Shelton, the imperial wizard of the United Klans of America, was a pre-law student at the University of Alabama. Morris Deeds started out as a segregationist. His father was a tenant farmer. He was a segregationist. In 1958, he dropped out of law school for a for a semester to work as George Wallace's student campaign manager the first time he ran for governor. And 3 years later, Morrissey was the lawyer for the most for the head of the Montgomery Klan, who viciously beat up Freedom Riders when they came in the bus in Montgomery. But he changed his attitude and became very much in favor of integration and founded the Southern Poverty Law Center. And he then ended up suing the Klan and suing Robert Shelton to break the Klan. That's what the book is about.
Yeah, and a lot of high risk there. Several threats on Morris D's life. I think one at his ranch when a security guard kind of hustled off a couple of Klansmen coming after him. He was really, in the latter half there of his life, rather principled to do this. I mean, how many people would risk life and limb to do such a thing? How did he skirt the issues? Was he always protected?
Well, he didn't, you know, he didn't, he's a strange guy. I mean, he's, you know, he liked to be Atticus Fitch, the heroic lawyer in To Kill a Mockingbird. But he's more like Oscar Schindler in that film. Oscar Schindler is this sort of, you know, egocentric, womanizing, greedy guy who ends up saving thousands of Jews. I mean, he's a real human being. And Morris is a complex person, and he just saw this was wrong. He had to have security because these people were coming out to try to kill him. Even now he has security.
And it was also what you'd call a synergistic relationship here. Even though Governor Wallace at the time, George Wallace, held on to the segregation philosophy and ideology in order to ensure support, he had this kind of unholy alliance with Shelton, who was hell-bent on maintaining the status of the Klan and their objectives. Well, Wallace had a much more realistic outlook. Was that predicated on him just wanting to hold on to his political position?
Well, the interesting thing about Wallace, Wallace is a very smart man, okay? A poor kid, he grows up, he goes to law school, struggles. He sees that segregation is going to end. He knows with the Supreme Court decision 1954 integrating the schools, he knew it was going to end. But he realized, he understood the white working class in Alabama in the South, their feelings. And he decides, if I'm going to be for segregation, I'm going to be the most militant pro-segregation politician in the South. I can rise. I can become governor. There's no telling how high I can rise. So for him, it was a really cynical thing that he was doing. And he used the Klan. I mean, the Southern establishment said, oh, the Klan, they were bad. They're not us. But the Klan did the dirty work for the establishment.
The price here, the outcome in a trial prior to the murder of this poor kid was that the Klan was somewhat untouchable, and even the mighty do fall. And in that initial trial, how surprising was it that the verdict came out against the Klan, and how berserk, if I can use that word, did Robert Shelton go?
Well, originally, look, when this lynching took place in 1981 in Mobile, the Mobile establishment didn't want to admit that a lynching had taken place in their beautiful city. They thought that might happen in Birmingham or Montgomery, some of these cities that had a bad image, and Mobile had a good image. And so three young men initially were arrested for this crime. They were totally innocent. They could have gone to prison. They could have been executed for something they didn't do. If the feds hadn't gotten, and a lot of states' rights, talk about states' rights, and states' rights is usually just a code word for segregationist policies. In this instance, if the federal government and the Justice Department, Civil Rights Division of the Justice Department, didn't get involved and come down to Mobile, they never would have caught two young Klansmen who murdered Michael Donald. And one of them took a federal plea, was sentenced to life imprisonment. The other was put on trial in Mobile before an all-white jury, and he was convicted of murder, and he eventually was executed.
And we're going to have to pick this up after a break if you don't have enough time. for a response on this, but what did your research reveal in this book that was otherwise shocking or unknown or new to the public who will be picking up a copy of this, which, by the way, published date is today, so go out and get a copy. What was it here that will enlighten people?
Well, I think, I'm a northerner. I've been down, I've written about the South before, but I spent a lot of months down there, and I just had no idea the extent of this evil system. I mean, Barack Obama calls slavery the original sin, American sin, and it truly was. And you see how these people were treated. You see that in the beginning of the 20th century, there were about 160,000 African-Americans in Alabama who had the vote. And the political and economic establishment didn't like that. So they wrote a new constitution that said if you had to vote, you had to have $300 or 50 acres, 40 acres of land. And that basically disenfranchised all but 4,000 black Alabamans. At the end of World War II, Alabamans who had fought in the war or had been in the war industries had the money or the land so they could vote. So they put a new law in that said you had to pass this test about the American Constitution if you wanted to vote. If you were a black person, no matter how much you knew about the Constitution, in a lot of those counties, you would come in there and they wouldn't let you have the vote. And that's how pernicious this system was and why it basically took the federal government to break it.
You can stick around for another segment, can't you, Larry?
I sure can.
All right, I want to have you return. The name of the book is The Lynching, the epic courtroom battle that brought down the Klan. Lawrence Lehmer, New York Times bestselling author, and without causing any red face, a brilliant author. The book is published by William Morrow. We'll be back.
I've owned my company for 14 years now, and I can tell you that payroll is a four-letter word. I hate doing it. It eats up hours I don't have, and it costs me money I could be saving, but my accountant's too expensive, and I'm not sure who to call, but I know I need help.
We're Paychex, and we take all the hassles out of small business payroll. We save you time and money. It's easy. Call, fax, or give us your payroll information securely online, and we take care of the rest. We calculate the correct taxes, manage payments and direct deposits. We even send out your checks. Payroll doesn't need to be a four-letter word anymore. We're so sure that we can save you time and money that we'll give you a month's payroll free. Just for calling 877-726-3369. Get 1 month's payroll for free. Call Paychex right now. 877-726-3369. That's 877-726-3369.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570, 800-430-7570, that's 800-430-7570.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait. A family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-933-5775. That's 800-933-5775.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
BizTalkRadio.com.
The Financial Exchange, weekdays 10 to noon, 1120 a.m. WBNW.
Hi, I'm Harvey McKay, and author of Swim with the Sharks Without Being Eaten Alive. I can't thank you enough, Stu. The interview, I didn't like it. I loved it. And I love the way you change lives. I love the way you prepare to win, the way you do your homework. I like to surround myself with winners, and really look forward to having dinner with you in Boston very, very soon. Best of luck to you.
All right, lots of endorsements on the book by Lawrence Lehmer, who's joining us, truly a brilliant writer, and his new book is The Lynching, The Epic Courtroom Battle That Brought Down the Klan. William Morrow is the publisher. The published date is today. Go out and get a copy. I was just telling Lawrence that I'm off for a little vacation, and I'm going to finish this book on that vacation. All right. Let's move fast forward, if we could, from back in the days of the Klan and its evolution, George Wallace, up to today's present day, and, of course, the controversial everything is a controversy surrounding not only Hillary Clinton, but Donald Trump as well. And all of a sudden, the support coming out of David Duke, a well-known racist and former Ku Klux Klan Grand Wizard. A comment on that and Trump. I don't want to make this a conversation about the presidential race, but a comment on that and where the Klan is today. It still exists.
Well, the Klan exists, but just in small numbers. That's one thing the Southern Poverty Law Center did because of this lawsuit against the United Klans of America. They destroyed the Klan in my book. That's the ending of my book, the biggest Klan group. And since then, the Southern Poverty Law Center has gone after a lot of these groups. So the larger groups are gone, but there's small individuals like that individual from Charleston, South Carolina, that went in the church and killed a group of black people. Okay, there's still racists out there. There's still this feeling in America. It's still there. And I don't think of Donald Trump as a racist, but I think he attracts people like that. There's no question.
Yeah, and I mean, an amazing story in and of itself. What was the heart of the case? Back to Dee's case. What was the heart of the case that resulted in the indictment and conviction of not only those two small players committing horrifically huge deeds on the murder? What was the basis of the argument there and for Shelton as well?
Well, Morrissey came down and sat in the courtroom as this young man was on trial for the murder and was convicted and later sentenced to die, okay? And he thought, well, these are just, as you say, these aren't just the small-time players. One of the killers is only 17 years old. Where did they get these ideas? They got their ideas from Robert Shelton. They also got them in a way from George Wallace, okay? They got them from this climate. And Shelton was the one that's promoting these things, but he always kept his distance from it. And Morrissey thought, what if I sue the United Clans of America? What if I sue them for fostering this philosophy of violence? Everybody else said he was crazy to do this, including the five other lawyers from the Southern Poverty Law Center. They didn't like that they were threatened to be killed. They didn't like they had to have the security, and they left. They quit rather than deal with it. But he persevered, and in 1987, in a courtroom, got a $7 million verdict that destroyed the United Clans of America.
Yeah, that was my next question. Did that $7 million effectively, was that the breaking point?
Yeah, I mean, they didn't have, the Klan only had about a building that was turned out to be 50,000, but that was enough to destroy them and send Sheldon into retirement. Now, Wallace, when Wallace was a four-term governor of Alabama. In his fourth term, he was sitting in his mansion with one of his aides, and he said, you know, I'm going to go to hell. I'm afraid I'm going to go to hell. And his aide said, no, Governor, you're born again. You're born again Christian. You're not going to go to hell. He said, I'm afraid I am. Because I've said these hateful words. I've said these words that have led to the death of people. And he realized words matter. You can't get up and say these things, and they provoke people, and they cause trouble. And that's what politicians have to learn. Words matter.
Yeah, they certainly do, and that's a warning I give out to everyone here. Never say anything on a phone or put anything in an email. I've never put anything in an email that could be traced back. I may have these deep, dark thoughts, but I don't put them down. What's the statement you'd like to make on the civil rights movement? Have we taken 3, 4, 5 steps back? And again, I don't want to make this political, but I think we have a huge setback in racism in this country, and a lot of it you can point the finger directly at an illustrious leader in office, the Supreme Leader, Barack Obama.
Well, okay. A lot of young black intellectuals are writing saying that things are just as bad as they ever were. Okay. I don't see that at all. I mean, yeah, we got a long ways to go. My book ends. There's a museum in Montgomery, the Civil Rights Museum, and I was there one day with there was a group of family reunion from African Americans from Lourdes County, which is one of the worst counties. You want to be black and live in the South? That's about the worst place to live. And these people are coming back to a different South. It's a very different place now, where African Americans can go wherever they want. It's still there's still a long ways to go, but we have to appreciate the efforts that were made for so long. So many of them even forgotten. We talk about the first bus boycott in 1955-56 in Montgomery, but you know what? The real first bus boycott was in 1903. That's the time when these Jim Crow laws first came in. This is the time when the water fountains thing, colored only, started coming up. This is the time when black people no longer could go to restaurants frequented by whites. And the transit system in Mobile was segregated for the first time. And for a year, the black people of Mobile walked rather than ride that transit system. That's just lost to history. That's just a part of the epic struggle for freedom that African Americans had for hundreds of years.
All right, we have less than a minute, so there isn't time for me to formulate a question other than to say, what would you like to say that we haven't covered during this interview? And if you can incorporate that into a closing statement as well, it would be great.
Well, it's just that this is a struggle that we've had as the people, we have as individuals, we have in our own souls. But we're slowly getting there. The individual has to change, and America has to change, and we have to look truthfully and honestly. You can't say just because a white police officer shoots a black person that it's necessarily racism. Sometimes it is, and sometimes it isn't. We have to make the effort individually, and we have to make the effort as journalists.
All right. Not only regarding race, but regarding politics in general and what I think we're facing, I almost see a revolution coming in this country. And thanks for bringing us a real touch of a reminder of what happened that created events that have forever, in a way, shaped American history. Lawrence Lehmer, the lynching, the epic courtroom battle that brought down the Klan. It's been a pleasure. Stay on right after the break, Larry.
Okay.
Thank you very much. All right. This is Stu Taylor.
Welcome to Staples.
Hi, Staples guy. We're moving offices, and it's a giant pain in the...
Bubble roll?
What?
Well, Staples has bubble roll, packing tape, all kinds of boxes, everything you need to move, and all at low prices.
Great. That's a giant load off my...
Packing peanuts?
No.
Shrink wrap?
No, but now moving will be a walk in the...
Packing tape?
Sure.
Get low prices on everything you need to move at Staples. And right now, a 3-pack of Smooth Move medium boxes is $12. Staples, make more happen. Offer ends 6/25/16.
Has your life changed? Are you now in a situation where you need health insurance? Here's some simple advice. Call our health insurance hotline right now. This free service will do all the work for you. Shop the health insurance marketplace and find the plan that best meets your health insurance needs. Don't get lost searching for plans on your own. Let a licensed agent help you for free. According to a report on CNN Money, almost half of those eligible for subsidies are paying less than $3 a day for bronze or silver plans. Remember, under Obamacare, most Americans qualify for health insurance. So get ready to let us do all the work for you and find out the best health insurance plan for your needs. Call this number now.
800-659-7975. 800-659-7975. For your free health insurance quote, call now. 800-659-7975. 800-659-7975.
Do you want to take the great shows of BizTalk Radio wherever you go? Well, now you can with the new BizTalk Radio app for iPhone and Android devices. Now all the great shows of BizTalk Radio are with you wherever you go, just an arm's reach away on your smartphone. Download today at the App Store or the Google Play Store and get the brand new BizTalk Radio app. It's biz for you wherever you go with the new BizTalk Radio app.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
Are you worried about losing your home to foreclosure? If you've been threatened with foreclosure or receive legal papers from your bank, you have approximately 30 days to respond. If you do not respond, you could lose your home. You have rights. Act now to protect your rights. You can stay in your home. Many times you can even modify your loan. The bottom line is you can get past this, but you must act right now. If you've been served by your bank and you're worried about losing your home to foreclosure, now is the time to fight back and save your home. Time is limited, so call the professionals at National Foreclosure Defense right now.
800-708-7922. 800-708-7922, 800-708-7922, 800-708-7922. That number again is 800-708-7922.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number,
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's A Place for Answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
BizTalkRadio.com. You're locked into Money Matters Radio, 1120 AM WBNW.
Hi, it's Steve Case, the co-founder of AOL, the chairman of Revolution and Case Foundation, the author of a new book called The Third Wave, and I enjoyed talking about the book with Stu Taylor on the show.
All right, we go from one brain exercise to another. You got to exercise that brain muscle like every other muscle in your body. And joining us here right now, a gentleman who's written a fabulous book. His name is Matthew E. May. He's an award-winning author, thought leader on strategy and innovation. I want to give you his website, first of all. It's MatthewEMay.com. I don't have to spell it. It's just like it sounds. The name of the book is Winning the Brain Game, Fixing the Seven Fatal Flaws. This is one fatal flaw already, a tongue twister. Fixing the Seven Fatal Flaws of Thinking, and it's published in hardcover by McGraw-Hill. Matthew, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Stu. Pleasure to be here.
Let me open up by saying, and you know, you've done all kinds of research, and I'll have you talk about that one of the great frustrations in life for me, and it should be for the whole human population, is the amount of creativity, productivity, and result-oriented approach can be obtained if we could use so much more of what our brain possesses. What is it? We use about 8 or 10% of its capacity, maybe even less. Frustrating.
Yep. So they say. Okay. Go ahead.
No. Pick it up from there.
Yeah, it's. I think that one of the things that gets in the way of us using more of our brain is the fact that most of our lives are spent trying to get a right answer for someone very quickly. It starts in school, and when we're on a job, carries over to our jobs. The boss says, "Hey, do this," and we're so action oriented that we don't spend quite enough time using our brains.
What kind of research have you done to document what you talk about in the book? And what are a couple of the outstanding findings that you made that may be contradictory to conventional wisdom?
Okay. My research is not the kind of research that, they do in a laboratory or, like psychologists do with subjects. It's all field research. For about the past 10 years, because my day job really is working with teams, business teams, creative teams, trying to track down solutions to their business problems. About 10 years ago, I started giving folks I was working with a little brain teaser, an icebreaker, if you will, a thought challenge, just to get their brains working before we worked on the tougher stuff. And I began observing that teams and people would not only get the answer to this fairly simple challenge, but they started exhibiting the same kinds of behavior over and over again. They would leap to a solution. They would overthink the problem. They'd get fixated on one solution and not be able to let it go. They'd come up with a mediocre solution, but then just try to sell the heck out of it. Or even if they did come up with the right answer or create an elegant solution, they sort of silenced their idea for fear that others would think it wouldn't be too good. So all these sort of seven behaviors over the course of 10 years, and it's been now over 100,000 people in workshops, seminars, and speeches, the research is pretty clear that these things get in the way of us using our minds. And now we know from science that how we think can actually rewire our physical brain. So that's what this book really is all about, and it's about techniques and methods that I've used with people in the field, on the job, to correct some of those things.
Can you be specific about what you think the effects of brainstorming are? And I think, you know, we all have those moments that we recall. And I developed a friendship with, you know, Tom Peters, the marketing guru, years ago, and attended a couple of his seminars. Was so impressed with the troubleshooting, freelance brainstorming, if I can use that terminology, and how ideas emanate from it. Now, for some people, it may result in cognitive dissonance of sorts. But what do you think about sessions like that? Are they productive or counterproductive?
They can be very productive if they are focused and with one tiny step injected. Because leaping to solutions, which is, you know, AKA brainstorming in a knee-jerk sort of way, generally doesn't get you to a phenomenal idea, a wonderful solution right away, because you're just sort of tossing out top of mind ideas. And then what happens is you know, after 10 or 15 minutes, you pick one and you go with it. May not be the best solution, though. So what I've learned to do is to do what I call framestorming, which is before you start tossing out solutions and answers to the question you're trying to answer, question the question. Ask a few questions. Storm around the question and reframe it, because the way you frame a problem, if you look at problems from a different perspective, you almost always come up with a better idea or better solution. So framestorm before brainstorm gets you a better idea, better solution.
For people out there listening, whether they're in business or their everyday lives, you know, there were there are times during the day, and, you know, it happens to everybody, where I either can't think of anything or I can't kind of create a synergistic thought. I mean, it's pretty common. What kind of, you know, I say the brain, and first of all, an alert mind needs a body fit to work in, and perhaps the converse is true. But what kind of, if I may term it, use this in terminology, brain exercises can we do to improve our brain power?
Well, you know, when I get stuck, and I think when everyone gets stuck at times, because the patterns in our brain are just so deeply grooved, it's very difficult to go off-road with our thinking. So one of the things that I've learned to do is play opposite day. Were you a fan, Stu, of the Jerry Seinfeld show?
Not at all. I actually had disdain for that show. Curb Your Enthusiasm was the best. Seinfeld, for me, was one of the worst.
Okay. All right. Bad example then. But there is an episode on that show where his friend George is having a miserable life, and Jerry says, you know, if everything you've done to this point has been wrong, if you do the opposite, it's sure to be right. And George proceeds to do the opposite of everything he's ever done, and life becomes grand. So opposite day really is about taking a look at your current situation, writing down the 3 to 5 characteristics of the problem or the challenge or the situation, and then just completely reversing it and saying, you know, what if it was the complete reverse or opposite? Let's say you happen to be running a taxi company. What's the, you know, it's not going so well. What's the complete opposite of a taxi company? Well, it would be a company with no taxis. And you begin to riff on ideas to improve your taxi company, and lo and behold, you might end up with something that sounds like Uber. I call it inversion or opposite day. It's basically taking the reverse of everything that's going on right now and using that as a platform, a springboard, to come up with new ideas. That's one way that I get off road with my thinking when I get stuck.
Jump a little bit into entrepreneurial thought. I don't think I technically have ADD, but I am consumed by what my wife talks about as lack of focus. And I say, look, I can do everything at once, which of course we can't. It's all separated by milliseconds, but I'm a multitasker. She's brilliant, but she focuses on one thing. I think that's a more effective person, isn't it? It's just the way I'm built. That's how I'm wired.
Well, you know, you can actually change the way you're wired.
I don't want to, but go ahead.
Well, I think the first of all, the brain game itself is the interplay between the biological brain and the conscious mind. And 20 years ago, I couldn't have said this, but now science and neuroscience has completely reversed its position. It used to be thought that the way that we are wired, our biological brain, by the time we're five or six, really controls our thinking and all thought. Now we know that the way we think can actually change the gray matter. I got to work with a neuroscientist that deals with people with the most debilitating brain disease you can think of, which is OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. And he doesn't use medication or drugs to work with them. Basically, what he does is teach them how to think differently, and that thinking differently allows them to function properly. So they're 10 times or 100 times, you know, worse off than used to when it comes to unfocused or unproductive behavior, but it can be changed.
Well, maybe I'll take back the statement I just made when I said I'm, you know, basically happy the way I'm wired. Every day, Matthew, I try to do something different every single day to break me out of a pattern. And I think I'll pick up on this thought when we come back from a break. Seem to be doing the same thing that I do every day here, going to breaks when I'm supposed to. Joining us will be Matthew Lee May, Winning the Brain Game, Fixing the Seven Fatal Flaws of Thinking. Now, you'll have to define what my flaw is in talking about the subtitle of this book.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam, for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information, and then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
This is a national health care alert from the Health Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You could qualify for a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost to you. Get free delivery, and all the paperwork is handled by our accredited suppliers at no charge to you. So if you're on Medicare and have knee pain, don't wait. You may qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost. Friendly agents are standing by 24/7 to help you. We also have other pain-relieving braces, too, for your shoulder, ankle, or back. You may be eligible to get these items and more at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Our friendly representatives are standing by now to help you, so please call now.
Call 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301. Again, 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301.
This is an important message to all listeners. If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes to the IRS, the tax pros at OIC Tax want to help you. OIC Tax is dedicated to helping taxpayers just like you with their IRS problems.
I owed a lot of money to the IRS. I was working long hours and weekends just to make ends meet. To make matters worse, the IRS was about to garnish my wages, and I needed to file several years of back tax returns. Then I called the tax professionals at OIC Tax. They stopped the IRS from garnishing my wages. They even placed my account into the IRS's financial hardship program so I don't have to make any payments to the IRS. That's right, no payments to the IRS while I'm in this program.
Call OIC Tax today to see if you qualify for the IRS's financial hardship program. Call 800-790-5988. Call now and mention you heard this radio commercial and receive 10% off their already low fees. 800-790-5988. That number, 800-790-5988. Call now, 800-790-5988.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370, 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Today, more than ever, Americans need a means to protect their life savings. With a troubled economy and government spending out of control, they've been forced to promote loose money policies, which decreases the value of the dollar and promotes inflation. Birch Gold Group can help you protect your savings by rolling over all or a portion of your IRA or 401k into an IRA backed by physical gold. Take advantage of the best gold prices in years and enjoy the long-term hedge against inflation that gold provides by moving into a gold IRA from Birch Gold Group, the precious metal IRA specialists. Call Birch Gold Group today for a free consultation on how a tax-free rollover to a gold IRA can offer stability, protection, and the peace of mind that your life savings, which you've worked so hard to build, is safe. Call 888-999-1351 and receive Birch Gold's free information kit, which offers the best-kept secrets for safeguarding your savings with gold. Call 888-999-1351. That's 888-999-1351.
BizTalkRadio.com. You're tuned in to Money Matters Boston, 1120 AM WBNW.
Hi, I'm Jim Cook, the brewer and founder of Sam Adams, and a friend of Stu Taylor. He's a great interviewer. He brings out the best in everybody that he talks to, and he helped me sell some books. Cheers.
You know, there are books out that can be entertaining, informative, and educational, and make you think. I like this one, Winning the Brain Game, Fixing the Seven Fatal Flaws of Thinking by Matthew May. And I just fixed one of my fatal flaws by being able to articulate the subtitle. It's published by McGraw-Hill, and I think when we went into the break, you know, and I alluded to it earlier, that one of the things that I do, which may be tangential to what you say, I try to do, excuse me, something different every single day so that I don't fall into non-productive patterns. And I'm not going to talk about the Einstein quote. Everybody uses that. I don't like to do that. What's your response to that?
That's a wonderful discipline to have. I mean, too often we just, you know, follow the same old routines, the same old regimens, and I think you would be surprised to if one of those neuroscientists happened to hook you up to a functional magnetic resonance imaging machine and watch how your brain lights up when you do something different. There are new neural connections that are being made, and you're actually making yourself smarter.
All right. I think a lot of people would question that, but I think generally you're absolutely right. Can you refer to some notable personalities out there, some high-profile people, and perhaps contradictory to the title, some of the personality traits that have separated them from the masses?
Well, sure. You know, one of the fatal flaws is called not invented here, which means if I didn't come up with the idea, it's not a good one. We look at other people's ideas, and we have a natural aversion to them. We see the flaws in their ideas and how it's not going to work. One notable individual passed away a few years ago. Steve Jobs was not he wasn't vulnerable to that not invented here mentality. When he went to visit Xerox back in the early 80s, and he saw their user interface, he took great pride in what he called stealing it. He actually said, good artists copy, great artists steal.
Let me just pick up on that by saying that it seems like all the great ideas have been come up with, all the thoughts, and the person who is successful is able to integrate some of the components from each of them to come up with his or her own unique product or service.
Oh, absolutely. One of my favorite quotes in all the world is Sid Caesar's quote when he said, I'm not impressed with the guy who invented the wheel. I'm impressed with the guy who came up with the other three.
I love it. Absolutely great. And there are a couple of great Groucho Marx ones I could follow up with as well, but I won't in lieu of time. Maybe one more personality, because I'd like to have you head to the subtitle of this book and maybe a little about those fatal flaws so that we, the listening audience, and I'm part of that, can become aware of what we can do to make those changes.
Sure. I got to work with a gentleman that began in Boston, went to New York, went to L.A., came back now is at New York as the police commissioner, one William Bratton. I got to work with him.
Yeah, he's been on this show, by the way. Go ahead.
Yeah, wonderful gentleman. Got to work with him when he was here in Los Angeles, which is where I am, and his 19 chiefs. And I got to do something really fun with them. I put them in rope handcuffs to see if they could escape. And not only could they not, but they exhibited all of these seven flaws. They immediately started dancing around, trying to get themselves free. So I put two people in handcuffs and sort of chained them to each other. And there's a little trick to it. It's an old, 125-year-old parlor game. But gosh darn it, all 20 of them could not escape those handcuffs, and they exhibited all of these seven fatal flaws until I gave them a couple of quick fixes. And by and large, one of their teams, the Bomb Squad team, was able to come up with an entirely new and unique and innovative way to respond to bomb threats following some of those sessions. So there's one that's sort of a practical personality, one that's out there on the firing line all the time.
Run through a few of these flaws. We've got about 3 minutes, and I just want people to get an idea here.
Okay. Well, flaw number one is leaping, meaning leaping to solutions, jumping to conclusions. The second one is what I call fixation, which is just our mental rigidity when we're trying to solve a problem, trying to break free from our mindset. The third one is overthinking, and this is sort of the art of creating problems that weren't there to begin with. We do that a lot. Those three I sort of characterize as misleading. That's the brain having its way with the mind. So you got to sort of figure out how to reverse that situation, and I have a couple fixes for that. The fourth is satisficing, which sounds like a funny word, but it isn't. I didn't make it up. It's 60 years old. Herbert Simon, Nobel laureate, came up with it. It's the combination of suffice and satisfy, which is, hey, I don't need the perfect solution. I need the 80% solution. Then I'll just, sell it really, really, really well. Problem is that'll put you in second or third place, and you'll get beat up by the person in first place. Then there's downgrading, which is a close cousin, and it's the notion of taking your original goal and backing off it simply so that you can declare victory. But I'm sure you watch football. No one wins by aiming for the 97-yard line. Don't back off the goal. You may not hit it, but be careful of downgrading. Not invented here, that's one that I just mentioned with Steve Jobs, which is be open to others' ideas and see if you can't quote-unquote steal them and exploit them. Finally, it's the deadliest of all, which is self-censoring, which is when you have a great idea and your inner voice of judgment or your inner critic sort of silences, kills it. It's almost like ideacide. Before the idea ever sees the light of day, you decide it's not a good one because you have a fear of failure or some other fear. That's the quick rundown.
All right, great job. And I wanted to ask you several more questions. We really don't have the time, so I want you to have do you have a concluding remark in about 10 seconds as the clock is running here?
My concluding statement is what appears to be the problem isn't, what appears to be the solution isn't.
All right. Loved having you on, winning the brain game, fixing the seven fatal flaws of thinking. I think I fixed one of them during the show. Matthew E. May, McGraw-Hill. Stay on as we close out, Matthew. I want to thank everyone for listening. See you back here tomorrow. This is Stu Taylor.
Opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. BizTalkRadio.com.